Good morning. I'd like to start today with a story about two characters named Bob and Ryan. And Bob is a successful lawyer in the state of California. And with some of the money that he has earned as a lawyer in California, he has bought a beautiful beach home. And it sits on the beach, and in the afternoons and in the evenings, Bob sits on his deck beside his wife, and the two watch the waves roll in. The two watch couples as they walk down the beach hand in hand, enjoying the sunset. And this is how Bob and his wife would spend their afternoons relaxing. One day, as Bob and his wife were sitting on their deck, they noticed a young man walking by. And this young man waved at Bob, and Bob and his wife waved back. They commonly had guests passing through who would wave at them. But this man continued to wave, and they waved a second time. And he continued to wave at Bob and his wife, and things were getting awkward. So Bob decided he would get up and go to the end of the path down by the beach, and he would introduce himself to this young man. And Bob and this young man met, and the young man's name was Ryan. And he asked Ryan, what can I do for you? And upon the first time at meeting Bob, Ryan explained his situation. And Ryan said, Bob, I am madly in love with the woman. I've been dating her for a while now, and she is everything that I think I'll ever need. And I want to ask her to marry me. Bob says, well, that sounds great. I think it sounds like maybe you should do that. And Ryan says, I want to do it in your backyard. I just think this is the most beautiful place, and we walk by here all the time, and this would just make the perfect place for me to ask her to marry me. And Bob says, okay, we can do that. You can ask her to marry you in my backyard. So they set a date and a time, and it was arranged. Ryan was going to ask his girlfriend to marry him in Bob's backyard. A few days later, Bob was sitting on his back porch, again enjoying the waves and the people walking by, and he saw Ryan again. And Ryan was back, and he was by himself, and he came up to the end of the path, and he waved at Bob, and Bob waved back and went down to the end of the path and talked to Ryan. Ryan said, Bob, you know, I was thinking, this proposal would be really great if before I asked her to marry me in your backyard, if we had dinner on your back patio overlooking the ocean. I just think that would be amazing. Bob was a little surprised by the question from a perfect stranger, but Bob says, you know what, Ryan, we can do that. And in fact, I'll cook for you so that you have the perfect night as you propose to your girlfriend. The two parted ways, and plans were established, but just a few days later, Ryan came back. They met halfway down the path, and Ryan said, Bob, you know, I really think it's going to be perfect with dinner and all, but you know what would make dinner even better is if we had some friends come to serve the dinner to us. I really think that would make dinner just a great experience for my girlfriend and I. Bob says, well, how many friends, Ryan? About 20, Bob. I think 20 friends will do the trick tonight. Bob says, yes, bring your 20 friends over. They can serve you dinner, and afterwards you can propose in the backyard. Just a few days later, Ryan was back again. This time he met Bob on the porch and said, Bob, I have something that would make this night even better. What can I do for you, Ryan? Bob, I think it would be great if after we had dinner on your porch, if maybe you would go and get some speakers and put them on your porch for us. That way we can dance for a little bit that evening after dinner. You want me to buy speakers for my back porch for you? Yeah, that would be great, Bob. Okay. So Bob agreed. We're going to buy speakers for the back porch to make the perfect evening. A few days later, Ryan was back again. Ryan met Bob on the porch with another request. And this time, Ryan was a little hesitant. And as he hesitated, Bob wondered, how bad could it be? How much could he really want to ask me for this time? And Ryan says the word, Bob, do you have a boat? Well, I do have a boat, Ryan. That's great, because I was wondering, do you think that maybe after we have dinner and after we dance on your patio, that I could take my girlfriend out on your boat and I could propose to her there on the deck of your boat? I think that would make for the perfect night. So Bob agreed. They would be engaged on the front deck of his boat. The night came. Ryan brought his girlfriend over. They had dinner served by their 20 friends on the back deck of Bob's house. They danced on the back porch, and then they walked down to the beach where Bob picked them up in his boat, and he took them out to sea. And it's just as after Ryan asked the question, as soon as Bob knew that she had said yes, Bob turned around and gave a thumbs up to his buddy from the Coast Guard who had snuck up behind him. And with the firefighting ship, he snuck up and he launched all of the water cannons into the air to make the most beautiful fireworks display that could possibly be seen, to announce that these two were engaged, that they were going to get to spend their life together. Ryan had his perfect evening. It was perfectly planned, but he had to do some crazy things to get there. He had to be a little audacious, a little bit crazy. But Ryan was motivated by love. And love can cause us to do some pretty crazy things and some pretty audacious things. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, and as we come to this place, Father, I ask that your love would be revealed to us. God, that we would see your love for all that it is. Lord, that your love would motivate us to live lives, God, that reflect your love. God, that show it to the world. As I speak today, God, I ask that the words that come from my mouth would be your words, and that our hearts would be focused on you. It's in your name I pray. Amen. If you open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, we begin in verse 7. As we look at the apostle of love, the apostle that the St. John's Church is named after, and what he has to say about God's love and about our love. Beginning in verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, the love God has for us. Again, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This passage clearly explains to us what true love is. It clearly defines what love looks like, how love appears. And the first thing it does in this passage is it explains where love comes from. That love, first and foremost, is something that comes from God. That you and I are only capable of love because of a caring and loving God. The only way that we can know true love is through a God who is love. And as Christians, we can know the true experience of love. We can know what love really is, the fullness of love, through a relationship with Christ. Love comes from God. God is love. And we love because he first loved us. So love is something that comes from God. And second, love is something that is shown. Verse 12 says, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We can't see God, but if we love one another, we can see what God's love looks like. It can be shown in our world. God showed his love to us through Jesus Christ. God showed his love by giving the ultimate sacrifice for our lives. God showed love. And as Christians, we are called to show that love as well. And every day, we get to see examples of that love throughout our world. For example, when a young man diligently plans the perfect date because he sure hopes that she's going to say yes, we see love shown in our world. We see the love of God continue when that young man continues to be faithful and true to that woman. When he loves her and provides for her, just as Christ loves the church and provides for the church, we see God's love in this world. We see God's love in this world in so many of our families. As two young people become parents, and just like so many great people here at St. John's, they give up their personal preferences, they give up their personal schedules because they love that child, and they want what's best for that child. God's love is shown through all these things. God's love is replicated in all of these things. And this is a church who loves. I get to see that this church loves on a day-to-day basis through the way that St. John's operates, through the way that each of you live your lives, through our family connections that we have here at St. John's, and the way that our families look after one another. I see love in this congregation through the way that church members take care of one another. This is a church of love. But our love has led me to a few questions. Just last week, we celebrated Easter. And as we celebrated Easter, John asked a question, or made a point that Easter is either worth celebrating every day of our lives, or Easter is not worth celebrating at all. That Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for our sins, that we are redeemed. or it didn't happen, and there's nothing worth celebrating. That this is either the most important event in all of human history, or it's nothing at all. I know this is a church that comes to this place because we believe that this is that event. We believe that Christ is risen. We come to this place because we believe that indeed Christ is Lord. We come because we know that the most amazing love story of all time is the one that our Lord told to us when he gave his son on a cross for us, despite our constant sin and rebellion. Despite our choices of our own pride and our own desires over God, he chose to pursue us with all that he could possibly give. And that's the reason why we come to this place. But as I think about that love that we know, that we believe in, the most life-changing love of all time, it caused me to look at a question from Dr. David Platt and really ponder upon it. And here's the question he asked. He says, how much do we have to hate our neighbor not to share the gospel with them? How much do we have to hate our neighbor not to share the gospel with them? That if we truly believe what we declare we believe, then we believe we've been saved from hell. We believe we have been saved from eternal punishment beyond anything we know or beyond anything we could imagine. How much do we have to hate somebody not to let them know that that's possible in their life? Not to let them know that they can be saved, that they can be redeemed, and they can join Christ in eternal glory? Either we don't believe that Christ is who he says he is. Either we don't believe that he has risen. Either we don't believe that he saved us from eternal punishment. Or we don't love. If we're not sharing our faith with others, if we're not sharing it with those around us, either we don't believe in the first place, or we hate these people. Love motivates us. Love causes us to do crazy things. When we look at God's love, when we look at Christ and what he was willing to give for us, God gave everything. He gave his one and only son out of a great and amazing love for us. What does our love cause us to do? As a body, love should cause us to go into our world. Love should cause us to speak to our coworkers about Christ. Love should cause us to make a difference, to take care of the homeless, to take care of those who have nothing. Love should cause us to go to the nations declaring God's word, even when it's hard. Even when that conversation with a coworker is a little bit awkward. Love causes us to be audacious. Love causes us to be crazy. If love can make a young man make audacious requests like Ryan asked of Bob, then surely the greatest love known to man can motivate us to go and share that love with the world. Love moves us. Love motivates us. It causes us to go and do things. It causes us to go out into our world and make a difference. This is love. This is love that we would go and share with the world. So as you go, as we leave this place today, reflect on God's love. Look at what God's love means in your life and be motivated by it. Let love motivate you to make a difference in whatever way God is calling you to. But love is not something that causes us to sit idly by. Love is something that motivates us to make a difference in our world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your love. That, Lord, as Christians, we are privileged to know the greatest love of all time. Lord, that you would sacrifice your Son for us. Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray that as we go into this world, Father, that your love would motivate us to do great and amazing things. Lord, we pray now as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven.